time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, and we are rolling along on a Friday. Our internet is back. Our building is still dark, but shout out to our boss David Gal for having a generator, so yes, we can at least be on air. And shout out to AD for the fan. I am not
amazing dancing
to any Sierra music today, being dramatic, because I am sweaty.
I wore legitimately the lightest Hawaiian shirt that
I
have.
You look like you're at a beach.
This is 100% rayon. It's like real fashionable. Got it from Kennyflowers.com.
It came from what?
Kennyflowers.com.
Is that like Tommy Bahama?
No, it's like that. Whoa. I am not a dad yet, ma'am. I am not going to Tommy Bahama yet. Someday, yes. When perhaps the tire around my belly gets a little bit bigger. I don't want to show it off. Fine. Yes, maybe at some point. But no, we are buying way overpriced tropical shirts like Tim Robinson on I Think You Should Leave.
Great show, and I love Hawaiian shirts. One of my dad's friends passed away, and he wanted for his celebration of life Hawaiian shirts and a Jimmy Buffett themed, and it was awesome. It was
yes,
like all the Indiana State fraternity brothers. They all had Hawaiian shirts on. They served the wives, served like Hawaiian kind of shish kebab type deals, and it was just perfect.
You ever thought about this? You know, listen, if there's like a, God forbid I die anytime soon, but I've always been,
right,
okay, if there's a funeral service for me, You mentioned Jimmy Buffett. Okay, yeah. I want everyone there wasted away on margaritas. I don't care if they're from Ninfa's or El Tiempo or what. Wherever the best margarita in town is, which I'm sure is going to drop a lot of storm on the text line, because you can get a lot of good ones here, and I missed those so much when I was up in Seattle. But I want that. I love that Hawaiian shirt idea.
Yeah, it was great.
I kind of want, you know, have you ever seen the things where they have the dead person, like he's like sitting in a chair
That's
doing whatever they're
doing?
Beyond
weird.
I know, but I kind of want it to be just so outrageous because I don't want anyone to be sad. I want everyone to be happy.
Yeah.
I want everyone to be having like a good time. And like, it'd be kind of funny to have like my old like 70-year-old friends, hopefully if I die when I'm 70 years old, like to be taking selfies with like my like dead body, like with rigor mortis sitting in a chair, like wearing sunglasses on,
you
like it's Weekend at Bernie's.
Have a strange mind, but that's a good movie. All right, Deshaun Watson, still no decision yet. The latest is that from Aaron Wilson that he may take this weekend to decide.
Right.
I never would think that it would take this long.
Yeah.
But there are a couple of things to consider. These aren't the original teams that Deshaun Watson was considering.
Mm-hmm.
We know that he was interested in Miami, Philadelphia. Some others had been thrown around.
They might have been more interested in him, though, than he was in them.
Right. Could be. That's how a lot of relationships happen.
Yes. That is, you ain't kidding.
If you change your mind, I'm the first in line.
Who's that?
Ava.
Jeez, I'm bad. I'm sorry.
Honey, I'm still free.
Keep going.
Take a chance on me.
I'm like, oh, okay. You know what? I actually know. I recognize that
you've
lyric.
You've seen Mamma Mia.
I have not. No.
Oh, God.
No. That's not My Big Fat Greek Wedding, right? That's like,
no.
Is that the Italian version of
not
My
all
Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Greeks are the same, but it does take place in Greece. But yeah, no, to your point, I mean, they may have been interested in Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun had his eye on Miami and his eye on Philadelphia. Then the allegations happen. It takes longer. The quarterback dominoes fall the way that they fall. And now he was looking at the Browns and the Panthers. Browns were eliminated, and mm-hmm, the Panthers eliminated yesterday officially. They were told, apparently, by Watson's camp, you guys are no longer in the running. So now it's down to New Orleans Saints and
yeah,
Atlanta Falcons. And look, Paul, these are for Deshaun Watson two very different destinations.
No doubt.
In
but
the Saints, you have maybe more stability in the franchise, obviously better pieces, a great defense. It's not Sean Payton's Saints. Like, and there's a chance they may have new ownership. The Falcons are completely different, but it's home. He's from there.
Mm-hmm.
He loves the culture of Atlanta. He knows the celebrities like Lil Baby and Quavo. So,
Lil Baby. Not wait, is Da Baby James
there's
Harden's
a lot
friend?
Of, there's
or
a
Lil
lot of
Baby?
Babies. There's
what
a
about
lot of,
like Tiny Baby? There should be Small Baby. That would be a great rap name. SMOL Baby? No? Okay. We'll just move on from that one. Look, I think everything Vanessa is pointing to him going to Atlanta. I say, first off, you had Kyle Pitts, who shares the same agent with Deshaun Watson, who tweeted out, things are about to get real dangerous in Atlanta. Then he deleted it, said he was talking about Casey Hayward, a cornerback. Sure, I don't believe that for a second. You had Quincy Avery tweeting out as well. And I think Rachel Van Orge actually found on Twitter basically all the clues that you needed to be finding to determine what's going on. And like Quincy Avery said, like, hey, come to Atlanta. Mike Davis, I think, sounds like he might be in on the know, running back for the Atlanta Falcons too. And on top of that, if you want the guy to come, you don't force, you don't pressure the person to come. You know, my big problem in dating is I get too hyper aggressive. I'm like, hey, what are you doing? Hey, hi, hey, hey. You know, you don't do that. No, you let the person take their time to make a decision. And the Falcons, what they have done here is they have delayed the bonus that Matt Ryan is due for $7.5 million until next week. And by doing that, they are giving them a little bit more time for Deshaun Watson to make a decision. And then for them to, of course, find a trade partner for Matt Ryan, because they do not want to pay that $7.5 million.
No, and give Matt Ryan credit where it's due. He's really played along with
this. He really has been a saint.
He has been the good soldier. He has, now his wife, you said, liked to tweet on Twitter.
Right. And look, sometimes the significant others of players
need to stay off social.
No, I don't think so. I think they sometimes can be, as Vanessa chokes on her Starbucks coffee, straight black. I think sometimes the significant others of players are like more passionate about something because they're like, my husband's being wrong.
You see it with Kelly Stafford all the time.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't blame them for it, and I'll never dump on somebody for it. So Matt Ryan's wife in this situation saw a tweet where it's like Matt Ryan's being disrespected, and she liked it. So that's how she feels. Maybe that's not how Matt Ryan necessarily feels. But it does seem like a bridge is as close to being burned as possible in Atlanta, just not to the same degree that's happening with the Cleveland Browns and Baker Mayfield.
Important to note, Matt Ryan has a no-trade clause.
Yeah, he does.
Which I did not realize until the last couple of days. So, look, I mean, the hot rumor is Matt Ryan possibly to Indianapolis, but also what happens with the 49ers, how is that navigated?
Seattle.
There are a lot of quarterback teams. Not a lot, but there are still teams with quarterbacks and that position that need needs to be filled. Josina Anderson says, I'm told the who's who of Atlanta from members of the Braves, Hawks, and music world, including Lil Baby and Quavo, have all reached out to Deshaun Watson to let him know, quote, we want him home. Per source, also told it's been down to two teams since yesterday. World's just finding out now. And this tweet was from yesterday.
How would you feel if you were asked by the Falcons to say this to Deshaun Watson, especially if maybe you think he's a complete scumbag? How would you feel about that? Because I imagine that some of the people that are being asked right now, I don't think everybody is. I think some people are like, oh, this wasn't that big of a deal, which is kind of a shame because read the story.
Right.
Sometimes it's good to refresh yourself on the story. I did this week because I felt like I was getting a little bit too callous talking about the whole thing. Right, exactly. Look at the story. If I felt that way about it, that would be such an awkward thing to ask. When am I supposed to say, yeah, come to Atlanta? Please just stay out of people's DMs. Don't be weird.
I think that these are all, you know, the people that he surrounds himself with are high-profile people. And regardless of how you feel about anything with Deshaun Watson, I've always said from the beginning it is a total gray area.
Yeah.
It's not as simple as he's super guilty in every case or he's super innocent in every case and he did absolutely nothing wrong. There are things that are going to have to be addressed with fetishes, with habits, with DMing.
Yeah.
And he needs to be at a place where they will support him through that, and they will, you know, do a proper PR job where maybe he does a mea culpa, admits to some wrongdoing. I don't know. They put him through sex rehab for a month. No clue.
Yeah. But
my point being, it seems like he's going to have that support with both of these teams.
Yeah. And you know, going back to that crew too. Generally, it doesn't seem like prominent people call each other out publicly. They probably talk trash about each other behind each other's back and stuff like that. I'm curious, though, like, what kind of image rehabilitation can you really do? And how willing is he going to be to change when, you know, the way that he came out after the it was found that he wasn't going to face any criminal charges and the way that his agent, like, keep that same energy. Shut the hell up.
Right.
Like, shut up, David. Shut up. You look like a total ass saying that out there. I wonder with the tone coming out of it, like just how much changing he is going to do. He might legitimately feel like he is in the right in whatever took place. But the 22 allegations, I feel like there should be some reflection. And I don't know that's necessarily, you know, going to happen. And as someone, I mean, there are two people I know, and it's not like they're massage therapists or anything like that, but where, you know, he has tried. Like,
you know two women.
I know two women in my life.
No, I mean two women where Deshaun Watson has tried what?
One he slid in the DMs of, and another he basically gave her a "Do you know who I am?" in the elevator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So look, listen, that's nothing wrong with that necessarily. You know, you're a young, handsome quarterback of an NFL team. I mean, I guess go off, king, as they say. But I don't know. There's a part of me that wonders, like, how much is he really going to change going forward?
The world has changed. It was not just the Me Too movement. It's social media. It's the fact that there are quote unquote receipts of interactions. Mm-hmm. So there are text messages. There are digital trails. So not everything can be proven. But again, regardless of how you feel about Deshaun Watson, there are still questions unanswered. The civil lawsuits haven't really been addressed. And then we know for a fact the NFL investigation is not complete because we haven't heard anything on that front. The most serious element of it, the criminal issues, will not be a problem. So from his perspective, I think that he feels like he's probably in the clear and that it's coming down to a settlement or a potential settlement. But certainly everything with this and the quarterback carousel, I think it had also been reported that some of these free agents are not going to sign until they know where he's going.
Right. I mean, Will Fuller.
Those dominoes are going to fall once Deshaun decides where he's going.
Will Fuller lock wherever Deshaun ends up. I bet he'll take some sort of deal where he gets paid nothing the first year, something else the second year. Because he basically played a one-year prove-a-deal with Miami last season. And maybe he thought that Deshaun Watson might actually end up going to Miami when he made that deal. On the other side of things, the weight that has taken place might have cost them something. You know, under the radar signing yesterday because of the Devontae Adams trade with more Baker Mayfield drama, Allen Robinson, who I think is one of the better receivers in the NFL, but has always played with just absolute crap quarterbacks, sort of like DeAndre Hopkins at the beginning of his career, he signed with the Rams, who I am convinced, Vanessa, are doing some sort of shady insider stuff off the books where, like, the IRS needs to swoop down on them. They are over the cap, and they signed this guy to a three-year, $45 million deal. I am 100% convinced that the Rams are doing something fishy. But whatever the case, the Rams wide receiver core now has Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson, and on top of that, Robert Woods coming back from an injury. Robert Woods is one of the better receivers in the league. Van Jefferson, and they're supposedly still going after Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, maybe they will hashtag run it back, as they always say.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up, the NFL, the greatest soap opera on the planet, because as much as there is happening with Deshaun Watson, there was way more news than just that. That's coming up on 97.5, 92.5. You are listening, of course, to Vanessa and Gallant. We'll be right back.
Houston's home for Texas A&M Athletics. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
So yesterday, their spring training, there was obviously some great March Madness games, but the NFL always finds a way to be relevant. And
I mean,
really,
the
number one thing people are talking about always.
They pantsed March Madness, and it was a great day of March Madness. Every game after 5 o'clock was a really good game. A lot of them went down to the wire. I honestly can't even remember all of them. I have to put a list in front of me to remember specifics from all of it. But yeah, I can't believe, Vanessa, that given all of the drama that we have been hearing from Aaron Rodgers and the Packers over the last couple of years, that Aaron Rodgers' legitimate partner in crime, the guy that he was throwing to nonstop in that playoff loss against the San Francisco 49ers, to not a lot of great success, but still, obviously, you know how much he thinks about Devontae Adams. I can't believe Devontae Adams is gone.
He didn't die. He's just on the Raiders now.
Yeah, he's dead. I'm just kidding.
Devontae Adams.
In previous years, that would mean you're dead.
Reunited with his Fresno State teammate, Derek Carr. So you have to assume at this point, Derek's probably not getting traded. Derek Carr was a hot name to other teams, rumor-wise, 49ers and the Colts. But yeah, that doesn't seem like it's going to happen now. AFC West, even more weapons than before. So Devontae Adams, I mean, that was something. it was interesting. On the Pat McAfee show about 2 weeks ago, Aaron Rodgers had talked about how he wanted them to re-sign Devontae Adams. But then we heard that there were issues. Devontae Adams did not want the franchise tag. And listen, I get it. I mean, he didn't want to be tied down. Now, there was a report, two things. Number one, Adam Schefter said that Aaron Rodgers knew this was happening. Mm-hmm. Devontae Adams had been honest with Aaron Rodgers and said, look, I might split. The second thing is that Green Bay, I guess, offered the same amount of money, or they say they did, and Devontae Adams actually chose to leave Las Vegas. To me, this doesn't necessarily mean there's tension between Rodgers and Adams. I don't think there is at all. I think they legitimately get along. But sometimes in life, you just need a fresh start, and you have some, you know, he has Las Vegas. That's a really exciting city. It's hopping. It's fun. The weather is much better than Green Bay. There's more going on. He has the opportunity, if you're Devontae Adams, to realize, okay, this is my prime. I need to get paid. I'm not going to do a franchise tag. I'm not going to go through all that BS. And so I think he made the right decision. And as we've talked about, if the Raiders are good, Las Vegas becomes the destination to play in the NFL.
Seriously, it really does. I mean, they're just a quarterback away. You know, I don't know what the flexibility is on this front as far as Aaron Rodgers potentially doing the exact same thing that he did this offseason, that he did last offseason, as far as making his future in doubt. But there's got to be a world where Aaron Rodgers theoretically could be a member of the Las Vegas Raiders in the near future. There's got to be a world where that could theoretically happen. I don't know how it would happen. It would involve moving Derek Carr, and it would also involve Derek Carr not being able to make the most of what he's got with him. It's crazy, you know. His season 2016, Derek Carr played, I thought, fantastic football that year. And then he got hurt the last couple of games of the season, and they played the Texans in the first round of the playoffs. I want to say it was Matt McGloin who was under center for then Oakland in that game, and he sucked. He was just terrible. And Brock Osweiler was able to outduel him in that playoff victory, so the Texans moved on to the second round of the playoffs. But ever since that moment, like, I thought at that moment Carr was going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And since then, it's been this, like, there's been this weird, I don't know what it's missing. I really don't. Because he does have balls. Like, he'll throw the football down the field. He's not like Kirk Cousins, where he's afraid to do that. There's just something, I really can't describe what it is, because his teammates seem to like him too. But he's not able to get it where you need to go if you're the Raiders, that's for sure.
One of the text lines, 3008, says, Aaron Rodgers is the James Harden of football. Doesn't care about winning, just wants to get paid and put up numbers while being a celebrity. I don't actually agree with that.
I think he does care about winning.
I actually think Aaron Rodgers does. I've had this conversation with Mike Silver, this conversation. I do think Aaron Rodgers actually cares about winning. The way he goes about it in the last year has not helped his image. I do think he's selfish. He's not like Tom Brady, where he's going to take a pay cut to put better pieces around him. That's the bottom line. But I do think he cares about winning.
I also think he cares about his teammates. Maybe he does it in his own way, but clearly, I mean, he's getting invited to weddings and stuff.
That's a great point.
So there's
he's not like Russell Wilson, where there's
right.
not, yeah.
With Russell Wilson, it's just so strange. Like, I mean, there just weren't a lot of people that were close with him in Seattle for whatever reason. But in the situation with Rodgers, I don't buy that either. Because, look, maybe he doesn't do everything that's necessary to get to where he is, but you're holding him up. The standard that you're comparing him to, and that he'll always be compared to, is Tom Brady, because Tom Brady played in the same era as him. And Tom Brady kind of broke it for everybody. You know,
that's a great point.
I mean, he shows up to work before everybody. He's won more Super Bowls than anybody, all that stuff. And I don't like the comparisons on that, because at the very least, Rodgers has had some championship caliber moments where I know in the second round of the playoffs every single year, James Harden is going to poop his pants.
Right. Consistently.
Yeah.
And there's a level of accountability sometimes from a football perspective with Aaron Rodgers. Now, will he take accountability for other things? No. But after a loss or in a press conference, he will say, that's on me.
Yeah.
You don't see that a lot with James Harden.
Right, yeah. I think that Rodgers does. James Harden is completely removed from all accountability. He would never blame anything on himself. And honestly, more than anything in basketball this year, I don't care about Jalen Green's development. I want to see Harden's face plant. That's all I want. Am I a bitter, petty person when it comes to James Harden? Yes. When it comes to Russell Wilson? Yes. Like, I have a list.
James was difficult to cover.
Yeah.
Had some great moments and did some cool things within the city, but it was that was a situation for sure.
Strip clubs,
the
yeah.
Other, you're listening to Vanessa and Gallant, by the way, on 97.5, 92.5. Happy to have you with us. If you can see us on Twitch, you can stream us on the ESPN app as well. Baker Mayfield requested a trade, and it was denied. Now, you and I kind of disagree on this to a certain extent.
About the way that Baker comported himself. Yeah,
I do see why Baker is upset in a way. Nobody mm-hmm. wants their boss shopping for their replacement. I just don't think Baker has played at an elite enough level to complain this much.
I think that's fair. You know what? I think, how about we set some new guidelines for, are you good enough to demand a trade?
Right.
You know, I thought it was really funny this past season in New England where N'Keal Harry, who is like a first round bust at wide receiver for the Patriots, was demanding a trade. I was like, who the hell are you? Shut
right.
up. Why are you demanding a trade? You're not good enough to demand a trade.
Understand the concept of leverage.
Right. If you're someone like Russell Wilson, a little different. Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, it is a little bit different. And it's unfortunate for Baker Mayfield. But the thing is, I just, for the life of me, Vanessa, can't get through my head why the Browns, who had to know, it was very likely that Watson was not going to say yes to them, unless they were that arrogant.
Right. And I think Andrew Berry is smarter than that. The Browns GM, he's super intelligent. I think he probably knew they were out of it.
I think Berry is. I don't think Jimmy Haslam is.
Agreed. No, we agree on that.
I mean, like, Jimmy Haslam, I mean, he one of many people that has Rusty Harden to thank for a lot of his life.
Yeah, but in general.
I would say with Haslam, like, I think it's all on him. I'm assuming that he was probably one of the people that says, yeah, I want a quarterback who's more an adult. And I'm okay making that assumption because screw these owners. With this situation, how do you tell Chris Mortensen you want more of an adult but expect this guy to come back and work for you?
Not a great look.
Are you trying to make him mad and make him go like Super Saiyan, like Dragon Ball Z or something like that? Oh, I'm Baker Mayfield. My power level's raised by many because I've been angered. Oh, you don't get that reference. It's fine. I don't get this. It's weird to try to make this work, and I don't see how you can make it work when, at this point, I mean, they were trying to cheat on you. They got on a dating
app,
quarterback swipe app.
Baker did some good things in Cleveland. He won the city its first playoff game in 30 years,
mm-hmm.
but the production has not been there to where he has enough leverage to demand this. And it's not like he has this contract that allows him to just exit whenever. That's not how it works.
Right.
And look, I'm all for player empowerment. I'm all for players having a voice. But at the end of the day, when you sign a contract and you are not an elite, like Deshaun, now time out because we're going to go before allegations here. Deshaun had just signed a contract when he demanded that trade. That frustrated me. Simultaneously, though, Deshaun is a top five quarterback, maybe top three. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he can do that. And
yeah.
The Texans, because they had some differences within the leadership and differences in opinions, eventually probably they would have accommodated it without these accusations. Baker Mayfield has not played at an elite enough level to be able to say, I'm skipping out of town. He just hasn't.
Yeah, I agree with you on that front, and I would hope that more players will look and see that maybe they shouldn't do things like this, but I don't know.
Yeah, you need owners to say we're not doing it, is
yeah.
the bottom line.
Right,
I mean,
do.
You need owners to say it's not going to happen.
The Rockets should have had some balls with James Harden and just said no. You know, they should
have. This texter said, how can you compare Harden and Rodgers when Rodgers has actually won a championship?
Yeah, exactly.
You just played into what we said.
Yeah, thank you.
thank you for proving what we just said.
That texter must have been texting about the other texter, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the other texter.
That's true.
I'm sorry, bro. Like, no. Like, you can't compare those two. Who did you compare James Harden to? James Harden's a lot closer to Kirk Cousins, where, like, statistically, he looks great, but you watch him and you're like, what? Am I supposed to like this? I think he's a lot closer to that. And I also assume postseason failure by Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, a lot of NFL drama happening yesterday. Baker Mayfield denied a trade request. As these dominoes continue to fall, it'll be interesting to see who lands where, because
yeah.
Baker was a name that was brought up for Indianapolis. People have talked about maybe Jimmy G, a trade involving that.
The
both
Italian,
of them,
right.
Having a new environment. So we only expect it to get more dramatic as the day continues.
I was surprised to see Jimmy Garoppolo have his own commercial during March Madness.
Yeah, which one was that?
It was a Subway commercial. It was one where he's like, I love eating my mom's fine homemade Italian cooking. And his mom comes in and she's like,
I don't cook. And then she like gets a to-go bag from Subway. It's like, he's lucky he's handsome. And Jimmy's like, what? It was actually a pretty funny commercial.
Yeah, that's a cute commercial. The Watt family did some cute Subway commercials too.
You know what? I have not seen the Watt
family. That was like a year or so ago.
The Belichick ones were fun to me. There's a Tom Brady one too. Other person who got a commercial now, Matt Stafford. Good for him.
Yeah, I guess winning a Super Bowl will do that for you.
You know what his commercial is? So it's at AT&T, and I've been watching it during the NCAA tournament. You're going to see it a million times. So he goes up to Lily from AT&T, who's hot, and he goes up to her and he says, Lily. He goes up to Lily and he says, hey, can I trade in this phone after 12 years and still have good memories with the old phone, but then trade in and make my life better even though I made great memories with the old phone? And then he like winks at the camera because it's like basically talking about playing for the Lions and trading his way out.
Funny.
I think a lot of people might have needed that explained to them, but I was like, I get that joke because I follow sports.
Right. Lily is hot. Lily's like a hot nerd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Text us or tweet us who's the hottest nerd on TV.
Oh, wow.
Commercials or shows.
Jeez, you don't want me to go down this rabbit hole.
She is a nerd. Yeah, Paul's going to get too excited.
Put anyone, glasses on anyone, and I'll say that person.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the AFC West just got a lot tougher. And then, of course, we'll get into some spring training talk as the day continues. That's next.
You're home for the NBA Finals, World Series, and college football's national championship. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Sup? Hey, I looked this up in the break, Vanessa. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Hottest nerd. That was what I searched on Google. And I'm very disappointed with the results. Because number one...
You don't think they're accurate?
No. They went in a direction that I didn't really think that they would go. Ross Geller, Friends.
Is he a nerd though?
No, he's just the worst. And he has every bad part that a man will see in himself. Ross, Ted Mosby, they're so relatable and I hate them.
Side note about Ross, just real quick.
Yeah.
So my sister and I, if we were boys, my parents didn't do gender, they didn't know the gender of any of the three of us until my mom popped us out. So you have to go to the hospital with a boy name and a girl name, right? Because
okay.
You don't know what you're getting. So for my sister, obviously the girl name was what her name is, and then the boy name was Ross. Well, she was a girl, so Ross didn't come to be. Me, same thing. By the time my mom was pregnant with my little brother, two things had happened. Ross Perot was like this big politician that my dad didn't like, and then my dad could not stand Ross on Friends. Because of how obnoxious his character was and the yo-yo of Rachel and Ross. So my little brother got his name, which is not Ross. So Ross,
okay.
An annoying name.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead.
This list is just disappointing. Like every single person I looked up, it's just like a bunch of, it's all guys, this list. It's sexist. Where are the female nerds? Why can't a female nerd be hot, but a guy nerd can?
Somebody, 0853 says Pam Beasley is a hot nerd.
No. Also, Pam Beasley's you ready for this take? Vanessa's like, you have a take on everything, don't you? Pam Beasley's terrible.
No, she's not.
She's terrible.
She's not great. I was on team Rashida Jones, but she's not.
Yes, I was too. Rashida Jones' character in season 3 of The Office was legitimately good for Jim. Pam was in a relationship with Roy the whole time, plays with his head the whole time. Roy sucks. I get it. Sometimes we stay in relationships that are bad for a while.
Yeah, we do.
So it's not just that. It's afterwards when Pam is going to art school. There's this couple of scenes where I'm like, oh, she wants to hook up with Mr. Hacky Sack here.
Yeah, and Jim's being emotionally unavailable for her.
Yeah, that's fine. And look, I'm not acting like Jim is a bully. Like Jim, the episode where they just list all the things that he does to Dwight. It's like, yeah, Jim is actually a giant a-hole. But Pam, Pam.
0123 says Vanessa Richardson is the hottest nerd. Well, thank you, but I'm not a nerd.
I'm more of a nerd.
There's actually like no part of me that's a nerd.
I made a Dragon Ball Z reference on this show that Vanessa has no idea about what that show even is. That is the proof. I'm a nerd. Vanessa is not. I'm like a meathead nerd. How does that work?
I don't know.
You're a nerd that... No, but there's a lot of nerds that like sports.
Yeah, but no, but I also pretend I'm a meathead, too, at the same time.
It can be a fake nerd. It can be a nerd on a TV
Honestly,
show.
Honestly, I can't... Off the top of my head, I
there was one that was on Big Bang Theory that was cute.
Oh, well, the, not all the of them blonde nerds one, on that but, show. But yeah, but the laugh track made them all unattractive to me.
Yeah. AFC West has gotten a lot tougher.
Oh, okay. Damn it.
Yeah. That's not nerdy at all.
I was on a roll with the transitions this
it's
time.
It's actually a lot of meatheads. Devontae Adams, Russell Wilson, Khalil Mack, J.C. Jackson, Chandler Jones, Randy Gregory, of course, Rocky Sin. Just some of the players that have joined the AFC West division this offseason.
Yeah, I think...
It's going to be scary.
I think the Broncos are definitely the team that's, hey... I look at them and I think they can challenge Kansas City. Vegas has weirdly been good against the Chiefs over the last couple of seasons. I think this might be the year the Chiefs don't win the division.
Really?
I'm not going to say they're going to miss the playoffs, but I definitely feel like this is one of those years where the Raiders have always been a good matchup for them, and they got significantly better, I think, with some of the moves that they've made in free agency. The Broncos are a team with some good pieces on defense, but maybe not as good as we think, but some loaded pieces for Russell Wilson to work with offensively, so they can get in a shootout now with Kansas City, no doubt. And, you know, the Chargers also have played well against Kansas City of late. So, yeah, I think this is the year that's my takeaway, is that the division's going to be tough and Kansas City's not winning it this year.
I think there's going to be more challenges. I will say this about Kansas City. I'm really tired of hearing that they're a dynasty.
No, they haven't won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but people call them a dynasty, especially in Kansas City. They've won one Super Bowl. Jesus. They've gone to two. You need to win more than one Super Bowl to be a dynasty. No, you need to win, like, at least three,
You need
right?
to win three. You need
yeah,
to win
because the Cowboys, you would consider they were a dynasty, and didn't Aikman win three?
Right.
Yeah.
You have to win based off of the – because we're talking about teams that are able to keep together. And for the most part, an NFL team, after 5-6 years, it's going to be totally different than it was before. That's why I would love to say that the New England Patriots' entire run of the last two decades was a dynasty. But technically, you know, you could argue that it wasn't. You could maybe say it was two dynasties and a team in the middle that was really, really good with the undefeated team in 07. But no, they won three Super Bowls in 4 years. They won three Super Bowls in 5 years.
The Cowboys?
The Cowboys won three Super Bowls in 4 years, you know? The Steelers won four Super Bowls, I believe, in 6 years. I think the 49ers was 4-8. I could be wrong on that. That is a dynasty. The Chiefs are not a dynasty. You're 100% right on that. And who are saying that? I wish that I, being in Houston, could actually say something to them. But the problem is, you can't trash talk anybody if you cover football in Houston.
The other thing is that if you talk to national NFL media, they will talk about how overwhelming and entitled Chiefs fans are, specifically to where if a network is talking about another team maybe being in the Super Bowl or being better than the Chiefs, they get a lot of complaints to where other teams like don't care.
Yeah,
fan bases.
But everyone gets that way, you know?
No, but the Chiefs are like, Chiefs fans are like specifically, like the examples, like the Bengals fans don't feel that way. The Bengals were just happy to be in the Super Bowl. The Bengals fans were just happy to have a good season.
But that can change so quickly. I mean, the Patriots were the worst team in football for the longest time. And I will even admit, most Patriot
entitled,
fans are insufferable, entitled assets.
Entitled.
Yeah, we're terrible.
Boston fans in general.
Oh, yeah, I agree on that front. Look, and I'm from there. It's the most... Considering all the success, they don't know how to rub it in people's faces. They're like, why don't you freaking like me, dude? Huh? Huh? I'll hit you over the head
you
with a beer bottle.
You talk like you're from Boston. Why is that?
What?
Why don't you have a Boston accent?
I don't because my mom thought it was trashy.
So she like specifically wouldn't let you?
She like made my dad have less of one. She's from Philadelphia, and it's not like Philadelphia has the best accent either, but she doesn't have an accent. And listen, that's why. I always get in trouble when I use the Boston accent around my mom. There's certain words where it comes out. But no, I think any fan base can become entitled. I think Astros fans are becoming entitled. I don't have a problem with it either. It's just a matter of, okay, hey, realize where you are. Realize how hard it was to get here, because ultimately this will end. And I mean, what the Astros are doing right now is incredibly special. I know that they've only won one World Series of the three that they've been in. So you, like with the Chiefs, you can't call them a dynasty at this point in time. But Astros fans are getting entitled. Also, I think that Astros fans have handled being entitled all right, because I think that there's definitely an us against the world kind of mentality that Patriots fans had for the cheating allegations. So I think there is a little more appreciation that Astros fans have for the team, just given that like we're the only ones defending them and stuff like that. But they're definitely entitled. You're expecting the playoffs to start in the ALCS, which is awesome. Like, you're the new Yankee fans. But at the same time, everyone hates you, and you can't get too mad about them hitting you. You have to, instead of getting sensitive about it, respond saying, like, yeah, we won that World Series, and they're never taking it from us. Sucks to be you.
You know the worst person to go on vacation with?
Who?
Is the person that insists on doing just a little bit of work while they're on vacation. And your favorite quarterback did that.
I don't like him. I don't like Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is one of those guys, and we touched on this a little bit earlier. There are some people who they just need to tell you about how well they do things.
Right.
And sometimes you know how well they do things. And Russell Wilson decided to share with the world that he watched all 20 Denver Bronco games, including the preseason games, three times while on vacation. Not once, not twice, three times. So I guess you can watch it on Game Pass. We're still talking about 30 minutes times 20 times 3. I mean, that's a day.
I mean, you're literally, yeah. I mean, now if you told his wife and kids, hey, I'm not available for part of this vacation.
Shut up, Wynn.
Yeah, I need to be by the pool.
I'm watching Game
Pass. Future Junior, I guess I get it, but the other thing is like, it's literally Future Junior.
I know, I forgot until now.
Future Junior.
Future Junior and Wynn. Future Junior, Wynn, you get out of your father's room right now.
Is there a Russ Junior? There's three.
Russa? I don't know.
There's
a third. You're right. There's a third. The new one is Wynn.
Wynn, Sienna, and Future.
Okay. Sienna. Okay. Why not? Okay. Fine, I guess.
Sienna instead of Ciara?
Sienna.
Sienna Princess Wilson is her name.
Jesus Christ.
That just made me dislike him so much more. Princess is the middle name that people from my hometown of Terre Haute, Indiana give their children.
I'm not going to say it.
Like Chastity Princess.
It's a kid. They can't help with their name. But some kid names are just really, really bad.
That is brutal.
In college, I was trying to date a girl named Crystal with a K.
No.
That was something else.
If their name is like Chastity, Charity, Faith.
Yeah. Faith's okay. Faith is okay.
Faith is more normal.
Hot name, Princess.
Yeah. Hot Nerds, 1679 says Zooey Deschanel or Tina Fey.
Yeah, and that, you know what, I saw that list. Zooey Deschanel is definitely up there.
Yeah, she is.
I guess Olivia Munn classifies as a nerd.
It depends on the movie,
I mean,
I guess.
She's been in some movies. I definitely classify her as a homewrecker, right? With the, didn't she...
Did she wreck a home?
Yeah, John Mulaney and her, I think, like, had a little thing.
Olivia Munn. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Olivia Wilde.
I confuse them all the time, too.
Olivia Munn, yes, a homewrecker. I still don't think she's a nerd.
That's what this article says. Says them.
All right. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we are rolling along. We are going to put a bow on this day. We're going to talk about...
more nerd takes.
Yeah, more nerd takes, but also update you on the latest on Deshaun Watson. That's next.
Sports on FM just sounds better. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers. You're locked in with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
It's one of my all-time favorite songs. Shout out to our producer, Bill Withers. Underrated. You sound just like him. The latest on Deshaun Watson. So here's what we know as we put a bow on a Friday and get ready for the weekend. Carolina and Cleveland are out of it. Mm-hmm. It seems like it is down to the Saints and Atlanta.
Yep. Still nothing new. It's getting frustrating.
I mean, nothing new as of a couple of hours ago, but things have been developing at a rapid pace for 2 days. Aaron Wilson says Deshaun Watson may actually take the weekend to marinate on it, and this was the latest from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network.
Hi, it's me. East K, finally we are getting closer, not there, to a decision. Last night, a significant development. The Carolina Panthers were informed that they are out. Earlier, it was the Cleveland Browns. They are also out. So that means it is simply the New Orleans Saints or the Atlanta Falcons for Deshaun Watson. He is still going back and forth. Wanted to sleep on it last night. Presumably, potentially, we will have a decision today. But, of course, it is one of the more consequential decisions of Deshaun Watson's career. And he has a no-trade clause. So, in the end, He does get to have a lot of say in where he goes to play football. At that point, Tom, it'd be on general manager Nick Caserio to complete this trade. But still, what we await today is the decision by Deshaun Watson. Where is he going to play football in 2022 and beyond?
So it seems like we could have a decision maybe Monday, maybe this weekend. We don't know. But he is, quote unquote, torn between New Orleans and the Falcons, which are completely different situations. The Falcons, obviously, a losing team, but that's home. That's where he's from. And then you have New Orleans, which is obviously more of a stable franchise, better defense, a better brand. Mm-hmm. We shall see.
I am guessing that whenever the deadline is officially set for Matt Ryan getting that $7.5 million bonus, the deal will take place before that. And that deadline has been pushed from today until Tuesday, which is a move that you do, I think, in good faith if you're the Falcons, because you don't want to put too much pressure on them. You don't want to chase off somebody that you're interested in. And I really do think, Vanessa, I won't say I'd be shocked if he goes to the Saints, but I would be surprised. Even though the Saints are supposedly, per some, I think Brooks Kabina of the Chronicle, I think Aaron Wilson had hinted that at points that the Saints actually were the front runners. But given that Kyle Pitts tweeted and then deleted, it's about to get scary in Atlanta. He has the same agent as Deshaun Watson. We saw Quincy Avery tweeting to Colin Kaepernick, hey, come to Atlanta. We saw Mike Davis, running back for the Falcons, like seeing the tweet from Kyle Pitts. I think that there are some in the room that know that this thing is about to be finalized. And we haven't really gotten any news of that kind of caliber on the same front of New Orleans, other than that they've been restructuring contracts.
And we definitely know that Deshaun likes to control the narrative and his team likes to control the narrative. So Kyle Pitts deleted that tweet, which he claimed was about another free agent signing within probably 3 minutes, but it was too late.
Yeah, Casey Hayward. Like
Hayward makes it scary in Atlanta? Question mark.
Yeah, I like Casey Hayward, but I don't think that Kyle Pitts, and I could be wrong, but I don't think Kyle Pitts and Casey Hayward have a very strong relationship. Like, yeah, that's my dog, old Casey. Like, dude, you've been in the NFL for 1 year. Nah, I don't know about that.
Some kickers as we end the day. Kanye gets banned from Instagram.
Yeah.
I didn't see this.
It was only for a day. It's suppression of free speech. I mean, look.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of threatening his wife and children, but.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't threaten kids.
Damn it. I don't have a comeback to that one. What if you're doing it ironic? No, I'm just kidding.
Nope,
you can't really.
Can't do that. I am all for free speech, by the way, but nope, can't threaten children and your wife.
Wait, was he actually threatening them?
He was threatening Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson, and that affects the children that are involved in this custody issue.
Oh, okay. I thought
so. Don't be a weirdo, and you won't get censored.
I thought he was threatening Pete, and I was like, okay, I get it. Still, it's content.
Threatening a human being is a problem.
Is it always?
Yeah. It is always a problem. 100% of the time.
What if you say that you're going to serve somebody?
Actually, a huge issue with America.
I was going to say, agree to disagree. No, I'm not. I'm trying to think of like a devil's advocate argument to make here.
Yeah,
I mean, it is Friday. We're being goofy. We've been sweating out all of our rational thoughts
in
the last couple of hours.
We have sweat
out the toxins. Oh, the toxins, yeah.
Somebody that needs to sweat and hit the sauna is 270-pound pitcher Lance Lynn of the White Sox. He showed up to spring training just a little chonky.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you feel about athletes that are not in the best shape?
Love it.
It's legitimately a trigger to me.
Well, I don't mind it for baseball players because, and this is the quote, this is why I'm bringing this up. So he was asked by reporters about being...
Chonk?
A little chonk.
Hey, you're a little chonk, buddy.
He said if the sport ever gets to where he needs to be well-conditioned, basically he doesn't want it. This is the exact quote. No, I'm not big on conditioning ever, Lynn said. Do you have to run across home plate to get anybody out? Once we start doing that, I'm done.
You know, that's a fair point. This is what bothers me, though, about pitchers. It's like, in baseball, you can legitimately just show up and not give a crap about your body at all, and you're fine. And it annoys me because I take care of my body like to a crazy degree. To a degree that doesn't matter. It's not helping me or benefiting me in any way.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, I'm in better shape, but it's all because I hate my body. Like, this is why I work out. It's like a mental health. I'm crazy and I need to do it. Vanessa's like backing away slowly in her chair. It's one of these things that I do. And I see baseball players piss me off. It's like, how are you good at sports and you're fat? I'm sorry. It bothers me. Like, why am I not good and you are? Golfers, the same thing.
Great line from Zoolander. Christine Taylor goes, I'm bulimic. And Owen Wilson goes, you can read minds?
I'm not saying that. I'm not encouraging that. What I am saying is it has always bothered me that an athlete where your job is legitimately to play a sport is sometimes not in the best shape. Like with James Harden, it bothered me. Like I'm not going to say James Harden was in terrible shape because Harden was playing like 43, 44-minute games over entire regular seasons. But you could tell that he was different in the playoffs. When playoff basketball happened, and playoff basketball is more intense, you could tell that he was a little bit more worn down. That's at least always the vibe I got.
I agree with you, except baseball. I just think those guys are on the road so much, and the pitchers, their job is what it is. But, yeah, I mean, certainly, look at everything Zion Williamson. I mean, look at that situation.
Well, but isn't that partly because of the fact that he doesn't have people working with him in his strength and program? I actually was listening to an interview that Pardon My Take did on their episode today with former South Carolina, former Kansas State head coach Frank Martin, and they were recruiting Zion Williamson. And Frank brought this up, and he said, like, look, we were telling Zion, like, we're not Duke as a basketball program, but you'll be a legend in South Carolina, and we have the much better weight training program. And, I mean, if Zion was in better shape, would all these injuries be happening? I don't know. So it's one of those things where it's different in baseball. And I shouldn't fall. I mean, it's pretty hilarious seeing, like, Bartolo Colon at age 44, like, slapping dingers and, like, throwing the ball and somehow having two families that are unaware of each other or something like that. But with baseball, I don't know. For some reason, it still annoys me.
You know what's really annoying to me? The Paul brothers, can't stand them. But
Logan,
the Logan Paul, Jake Paul WWE tag team could be one step closer to reality, says TMZ Sports.
Wait, so there's wrestling now?
Where Logan Paul says, bro, I'm so ready, it's ridiculous. I'm not kidding. He'd like to partner with his brother, etc.
I refuse to learn which one's which.
Yeah.
Like, which one's the good boxer,
irrelevant,
which one's the
me.
Bad one. But the one that's the good boxer, apparently Conor McGregor finally acknowledged him. And that's the first step. Because boxing has fallen to a point where they are struggling to get as many eyeballs as they possibly can. And as much as I dislike whichever one of the Pauls is actually good at boxing now, he is actually decent at boxing enough where he has kicked the ass of every single person he has fought. He's put an effort into his craft. And Conor McGregor, not a traditional boxer, something tells me that is a fight that is going to happen, that people will pay a stupid amount of money to watch because they'll want to watch Paul get his ass kicked. And something tells me that
either
there's a chance
one of them,
Paul holds
either
his
Paul,
own.
Either one of them.
Well, yeah. No one likes them, but I give them credit because they have monetized that about as well as anyone could.
Kentucky is out of the tournament. And the only thing that could make me feel better about Indiana being out of the tournament was Kentucky being out of the tournament at the hands of St. Peter's,
which is
apparently in, did you say Vermont? Or
it's in Jersey. New Jersey, right. So in Indiana lost to St. Mary's.
Yes.
Yeah.
So good day for you Catholics. Huh?
Yeah, the Catholics, we rule you, you know?
You rule the Midwest common folk.
The Pope is proud of the Catholics today.
Yeah, I'm glad he's proud of something.
Yeah, he might have excommunicated Marquette, though. Might have excommunicated San Francisco for losing. Marquette got stomped in that one. Yeah, so you're a big Indiana fan.
Yeah, I like Indiana. Trace Jackson Davis, I think, has been great for the program. I like Mike Woodson. At least they're in the tournament. But when you look at
what happened, they're Indiana, though, right?
How important basketball is in Indiana? It's been embarrassing.
Yeah,
I mean, I it's been embarrassing to the point to where the top recruits in the state are going elsewhere. But this is a great line from Yahoo Sports. On Thursday in Indianapolis, Kentucky fell to a tiny Jesuit school with the men's basketball budget that couldn't even pay a quarter of John Calipari's salary. Money can't buy you wins sometimes, guys.
No, it can't. And
oftentimes it can. Sometimes it can't.
Kentucky fans are pissed. I mean, I think Calipari actually might be on the hot seat for the first time in his career.
Doesn't he have the lifetime contract or something like that?
Yeah, but I mean, that what does that matter?
There's got to be a clause in there.
Definitely. Real quick, Indiana's on the border of Kentucky, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How many Kentucky fans are in the state of Indiana?
There's a pretty sharp gap. I mean, there's not a lot.
Because I know that's like a very like strong basketball area. You got Louisville, you got Murray State, you got all sorts of other schools in the general area too.
Yeah, not a lot of bandwagoners. All right, we are going to put a bow on a Friday. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
We had fun.
Joel Blank is at Drift, right?
Yeah, and I have to drive there because I'm hosting with him.
You are going to host with Joel Blank at Drift.
Come hang out with us at Drift.
Drink, be responsible.
I'm not going to be responsible on the road. Sorry, guys.
You are going to get an Uber. We'll make sure that you do.
Oh, well, on the way home, yes. But on the way over there, I will be going fast and furious down Toretto mode. 100 miles per hour, revving my crappy Nissan Sentra all the way, baby. Let's go.
Thanks for joining us, guys. The Killer Bees are up next on ESPN 97.5 and
92.5. Peace!
Independent voice for Houston sports. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. KFNC and KFNC HD2 Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.